In my father's suitcase.
父亲的手提箱之谜。
2 years before his death, my father gave me a small suitcase filled with his writings, manuscripts, and notebooks. Assuming his usual joking, mocking air, he told me he wanted me to read them after he was gone, by which he meant after he died. A week after he came to my office and left me his suitcase, my father came to pay me another visit. As always, he brought me a bar of chocolate. He had forgotten I was 48 years old. As always, we chatted and laughed about life, politics, and family gossip. A moment arrived when my father's eyes went to the corner where he had left his suitcase and saw that I had moved it. We looked each other in the eye. There followed a pressing silence. I did not tell him that I had opened the suitcase and tried to read its contents. Instead, I looked away, but he understood, just as I understood that he had understood, just as he understood that I had understood that he had understood. But all this understanding only went so far as it can go in a few seconds. Because my father was a happy, easygoing man who had faith in himself, he smiled at me the way he always did. And as he left the house, he repeated all the lovely and encouraging things that he always said to me like a father. As always, I watched him leave, envying his happiness, his carefree and unflappable temperament. But I remember that on that day, there was also a flash of joy inside me that made me ashamed. It was prompted by the thought that maybe I wasn't as comfortable in life as he was. Maybe I had not led as happy or footloose a life as he had, but that I had devoted it to writing, you've understood. I was ashamed to be thinking such things at my father's expense. Of all people, my father, who had never been the source of my pain, who had left me free. All this should remind us that writing and literature are intimately linked to a lack at the center of our lives and to our feelings of happiness and guilt. But my story has a symmetry that immediately reminded me of something else that day, and that brought me an even deeper sense of guilt. 23 years before my father left me his suitcase, and 4 years after I had decided, age 22, to become a novelist, and abandoning all else, shut myself up in a room, I finished my first novel, Sevdetbey and Sons. With trembling hands, I had given my father a type script of the still unpublished novel so that he could read it and tell me what he thought. This was not simply because I had confidence in his taste and his intellect. His opinion was very important to me because he, unlike my mother, had not opposed my wish to become a writer. At that point, my father was not with us, but far away. I waited impatiently for his return. When he arrived 2 weeks later, I ran to open the door. My father said nothing, but he at once threw his arms around me in a way that told me he had liked it very much. For a while, we were plunged into the sort of awkward silence that so often accompanies moments of great emotion. Then, when we had calmed down and begun to talk, my father resorted to highly charged and exaggerated language to express his confidence in me or my first novel. He told me that one day I would win the prize that I am here to receive with such great happiness. He said this not because he was trying to convince me of his good opinion or to set this prize as a goal. He said it like a Turkish father giving support to his son, encouraging him by saying, "One day you'll become a pasha." For years, whenever he saw me, he would encourage me with the same words. My father died in December of 2002. Today, as I stand before the Swedish Academy and the distinguished members who have awarded me this great prize, this great honor, and their distinguished guests, I dearly wish he could be amongst us.